Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Republican presidential candidates Marco Rubio and John Kasich are hoping they can still hang on following today's primaries in five states. Pardon me. Voters will be casting ballots in Rubio's state of Florida, Kasich's Ohio, as well as in Missouri, Illinois, and North Carolina. Meanwhile, Democrat Hillary Clinton is hoping to keep rival Bernie Sanders from building new momentum following a surprise win in Michigan. What do you think? Who will drop out after today? Who will be still standing? Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wmc.org. The only rules here today are civility. Very important. Civility. Remember that. And also, rule number two, don't make stuff up. Okay, so here we are. We got five phones. We got three already ready to go. You want to get in? This is going to be a very popular show. Call now, 1-800-348-2551. Stephen Williamstown, thanks for your patience and for being the first one. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, well, here's what's going on. I wanted to mention a comment on Trump, but I want to preface it with a little Democratic primary comment. 4 years ago, I had to vote for Hillary Clinton in the primary because I thought there was more sexism in America than racism. Of course, once Obama got elected, the racism stuck out pretty good in the Senate of the United States. But otherwise, I was happy to vote for either one of them. And again, this time, I would hope Bernie will win. But as much as the sexism still exists, Bernie's my man. I can't help myself there. So my comment about Trump here is that I heard him say yesterday maybe he shouldn't have any more of those
debates.
Yeah, because of all the problems he's having at his rallies. So I'm thinking, you know, I just wanted to give him a little advice. Maybe he should stop having rallies because then he wouldn't have any more trouble, because he doesn't have any trouble at the debates except for maybe spewing out more spew. Thanks.
Thanks,
my
Steve.
Comment.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it very much. That leaves one free phone right now. John in New Windsor, you're on.
Yeah, I just heard the guy's last comment. I just wanted to say, number one, Trump's rally is terrific because Bernie put some fans to come and to make some violence. That's number one. You can agree or disagree. Number two is I want to say who's going to win the primaries tonight. In the Republican field, Kasich's going to win Ohio. Trump's going to win Ohio and Illinois.
Wait. How can both of them win Ohio?
No, I meant Florida and Illinois.
Oh,
and
I see.
Ted Cruz is going to win one of them and Donald Trump.
Okay, so let me go over that again, John. Start from the beginning. Who's going to win what?
Donald Trump's going to win Florida.
Okay.
John Kasich's going to win Ohio.
Okay.
Donald Trump's going to win Illinois.
Yep.
Ted Cruz is going to win Missouri, and I think Donald Trump's going to win North Carolina.
Yeah.
And in the Democratic field, Bernie's going to win Ohio, Illinois, Hillary's going to win Florida, Missouri, and North Carolina. You agree or disagree?
Well, no, I'm fascinated. My mind isn't facile enough to keep up with you, John. However, I do think the Missouri one is interesting. What's your reasoning there?
Because, number one, it's either you're a liberal in Missouri or you're a conservative. There's not a lot of moderates go for Trump or Hillary.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you have enough time for me to tell you a story about Donald Trump?
Real quickly. Go ahead.
Donald Trump, there was a Jewish guy that was going down the turnpike, and he saw a limo on the side of the turnpike, and it had a flat tire, so he pulled over to fix the tire. So he fixed the tire, and the guy in the back seat comes out, and he's like, "Why do you fix my tire?" He's like, "I was a nice guy." She's like, "What can I do to pay you back?" He's like, "Nothing." He's like, "Maybe if you want, you buy my wife flowers Friday." That Friday, a letter came in the mail with flowers, and on it said, "I paid up your mortgage." That was a story from Donald Trump.
That's very interesting. I'm sure it's not true, right?
It's 100% true because I know the person who got paid up mortgage.
Okay, thanks very much, John. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Bill in Albany. We have two free phones now, 1-800-348-2551. Bill in Albany, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, Alan. I think you heard this before regarding superdelegates, but I'd like to repeat. First of all, I have a problem with the term superdelegates,
okay.
Maybe unelected delegates or something of that nature. But more importantly, I don't think the Democratic superdelegates should announce who they're going to support before the people from each particular state vote. For example, let's say in New York State, Hillary beats Bernie 55% to 45%.
Right.
On the first ballot at the convention, I think 55% of New York's superdelegates should cast their vote for Hillary and 45% should cast their vote for Bernie. And I think this should be nationwide as well.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because everybody has a plan. Your plan's interesting and not without merit, I must say. However, there's a difference between what is and what should be. You know what I mean, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for your great call and thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Now there are three free phones. We've got a Kyle and Troy now. Go, Kyle.
Yes. How you doing today?
Pretty good. Don't ruin
it. Big fan of the show.
Great
fan.
Great.
I just wanted to call about the primaries today, or the caucuses that are going on today in Missouri. Where we have Illinois, Florida, and what's the third one there? Ohio.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a big Bernie fan, big Bernie supporter. Called all my family in Florida and had them go out and caucus today, which they did.
Hey, Kyle, can you get closer to the microphone? You're a little low here. Go ahead.
I'm a little low. Can you hear me now?
A little better. Yeah, go ahead.
All righty. So I just love the way that the I want to make a comment on the way media puts a spin on everything. And I love the way the media somehow made the assumptions that the MoveOn.org group that was, that promoted the peaceful protesting that actually turned out to be a little bit more violent than what it was. How they were able to turn it around and blame it on Bernie Sanders. And I find it amazing that, you know, even though we have all of these hate rhetoric that comes from the Trump rallies, somehow they miss that and they like to turn it on the candidate who's the underdog. So,
Kyle, for whatever it's worth, I don't agree with you. I mean, I think Trump has really gotten the lion's share of the responsibility from New York Times editorials and on about having done this. And I've heard very little about Sanders except from Trump himself.
And yeah, I do agree with you there. So that's probably where it's coming from is the lying that we hear from Trump. And it's probably the news feeds that I get on my Facebook. When you talk to the average person about Bernie Sanders, especially here in Troy, New York, people don't really know what to think about him. So I'm just doing my part to spread the word in hopes that he wins as many caucuses as he can. The other thing I heard another
you don't mean caucus, you mean primary votes, right?
The primary vote, votes, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Not at all. Go ahead.
Another. What was I going to say? Something else that I found rather interesting.
This is a test of the State of New York Emergency Alert System.
Uh-oh. I don't know. We got some emergency alert system.
Well, maybe it's all that rain we're supposed to be getting.
Maybe it's what you're saying. I don't know.
yeah, right? They're trying to shut me down.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, I want to keep the support for him, and I know that there's a lot of issues with the superdelegates, and they finally took them off the major media outlets. Because it just shows unfairness in the Democratic
Party.
Well,
some have them, some don't. You know, I mean, there's been much ado about the superdelegates, but some do it, some don't do it. But a vote is a vote. Hey, Kyle, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very
much. Thank you very much. Right. Big fan.
Okay, that's great. Okay, we're going to take a very short break, and then we'll be right back for Cindy and JD and Doe and all like that.
Support for WAMC comes from Poughkeepsie Farm Project, offering nutrition in the classroom training for educators on March 30th, farmproject.org. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, with a second shop now open on Windmere Avenue in the heart of Greenwood Lake. YeOldWarwickBookshop.com. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio, FortHillAutoBody.com. And the Whistling Kettle, Troy and Ballston Spa, featuring wellness teas including Feel Better, a tea with echinacea designed to boost the immune system. TheWhistlingKettle.com.
Nice picking. Okay, let's go to Cindy. It says here in Manhattan. Are you in Manhattan, Cindy, or are you from Manhattan?
I am in Manhattan, and I have a house up in Lee.
Oh, that's great. Okay, Cindy, go.
All right, Alan. I just wanted to let you know I also went to Bronx House Emmanuel.
Wow.
20 years after you did.
You know, they renamed that camp, but I never used the other name.
They used it. Yes, they renamed it, and my daughter went there, too.
I don't recognize that name.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Anyway, and I met you back in Pleasant in Maine in September, and I sat next to you, and I gave you a whole speech about Bernie.
Okay,
how he's going to be a contender. But this is what I want to say.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, Michigan was not a surprise. Let's go back. It was a coin toss in Iowa. It was neck and neck. He really won. It was 700 votes in Nevada, which Harry Reid bussed in 150 homeless people that they paid off. It was a virtual tie in Massachusetts where Bill Clinton went to four different counties in Boston with the mayors and held up voters and cheated. And he should be arrested for that. So let's not say how much of a surprise Michigan was when it was all along a tie everywhere.
Okay.
But the Democratic Party is totally behind her and pushing it and lying, and they will do anything to keep Bernie out. So Bernie supporters, make sure you're watching all the polls tonight. Don't let them cheat.
Thank you, Cindy. All right. Good luck to you. 1-800-348-2551. You won't believe this, folks, but there are three free phones right now. We'll go to Doe in Wendell. Doe, go.
Hi. I have a comment about and a question. Is there an organized bloc of evangelical Christians who are committed to backing Trump? And also, if there is, I'm wondering what the appeal Trump has for them being Christians, because it's obvious to me that Trump is a worshiper of Mammon, and that's the almighty dollar. And I believe he has said that he's the best because he has the most money. I'd like to hear about comments from other people about those notions.
Well, I think it's important to have comments from other people. And it is interesting, Doe, as always, that you have raised an interesting subject about why, because of Trump's varied interests and his many marriages and stuff like that, why people who are evangelicals support him in the numbers that they do. And that is a fascinating question, and I'm sure you're right in asking others to call up with their theories. But, Doe, as always, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And we'll go to Kevin in Hobart. Kevin, you're on.
Hi. How are you doing, Alan?
Well, you know.
Well, I just wanted to talk about Bernie Sanders in general, and
sure.
He really represents what we need in our society right now.
Okay.
I mean, there is no other politician out there that is proposing anything in reality on the Republican side, and on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton represents the same corporate interest, corporate wing of the Democratic Party, but across the country, real, true progressives are rising up, running for election on local level, and that's the only thing we can do right now is encourage progressives and liberals and people on the left to run for office. But not only that, but if Bernie Sanders doesn't win the nomination, I'm out of the Democratic Party. I'm going to start working towards building a workers' party for the people. And I know it's been done many times before. Our system is designed to prevent that kind of thing, but it's not impossible. And at the height of the in the 1920s, at the height of union support, we were presented an opportunity that we could have built. We had the numbers to build a workers' party, but we never did.
Well, it was supposed to be the Democratic Party, as you know. Listen,
well, they were supposed to break away from, yeah, the Democratic Party.
No, I don't think so, Kevin. But
there was a huge portion of Communist Party leaning unions
at
the time.
Kevin, let me ask you a question, because it is of some concern to a lot of people, and I hear it over and over and over again from Hillary supporters. And here's what it is. Yeah, you know, I'm not so sure that Hillary isn't, you know, she takes the money, she's been corporate centered, but she can win. Bernie can't win. They're going to put him up there with a Bolshevik hat on and a big red star on it. They're going to find out everything he did during his time, much of which others have done, let's put it that way. And he'll lose, and the Supreme Court will go the wrong way. And you, Kevin, will be standing on the outside, forming a third party, and say, I'm done with the Democratic Party. I'm not going to vote for Hillary. And the next time you get a
I'm not saying I'm not going to vote for Hillary. Will vote for Hillary.
Oh, okay.
But there's no reason a person can't vote for a Democrat, even one that they have distaste for, and still work towards building a workers' party.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And there's no reason. All the various strategies out there on the left, I encourage people to you know, whatever you think is the best strategy, you go for it.
Okay, Kevin, we got a lot of people.
Everybody should work together.
We've got a lot of people behind you, Kevin. Thank you for the very interesting telephone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Okay, right. And let's go to Dolly in Schenectady. Dolly. Hello, Dolly.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, go. What do you got? Bring it.
Well, in our two Democratic candidates, between Bernie and Hillary,
yep.
I like Bernie's ideas. He's absolutely right. There's too much money in our political campaigns.
Yep.
We need that reformed. He has great ideas. He's got the youth. He's got a movement. But to be honest with you, people barely get their selves out to vote. And so, for me, I appreciate Hillary, all the work she's done her whole life, the experience, the bravery, the smartness, the strength, the courage, and the tenacity to be the leader of the free world. She's got it together, Hillary all the way.
Dolly, thank you very much for your very interesting phone call. I appreciate the effort, really. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Bye now.
Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Three free phones. I can't believe it. Let's go to Glenn in Albany. Okay, Glenn, you're on.
Hey, Alan. What's going on?
Not much.
Hey, Alan. Hey, I was just giving you a call. I just wanted to say how I'm a big fan of Donald Trump.
Okay,
not,
great.
Not
by the way, Glenn,
not
I'm,
I like him.
Glenn,
not
I'm
re- I like him.
Glenn, I'm really glad you're calling. Everybody's welcome here. I mean that.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
not because I like him. It's just the reason why is because I think he's bringing out the true colors of the Republican Party. You know, he's going out there and he's feeding into a lot of people's prejudices, and that's why they're coming out to vote for him.
But what cost, Glenn? I mean, you don't have to like him. You've announced that maybe you don't like him. He's showing up the Republican Party for what they are. I tend to agree with that. You really haven't got a moderate choice. They say Kasich is, but if you look into his record, I'm not even sure about that one, and they don't give him much time or much effort. So I think you're right about what you're saying. But if he gets elected president of the United States, you know, there have been some indications based on what he's been saying that it could be a catastrophe.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. I don't have a lot of time, but
right.
I just want to point out, like me for example, like it's not politics anymore. Like, you know, we sit around the dinner table and we talk politics, but without like me to give you a little history, I'm Latino, and my wife is she's white. So when we sit around the dinner table and stuff like that, and some of our family are Trump supporters, it's no longer about politics anymore. You know, like for me, if you're a Trump supporter, it's kind of like you're for throwing out Mexicans and, you know, saying all these things. And I know he feeds into a lot of their prejudices, and it's really bringing them out into the light. You know what I mean?
So Glenn, did I hear you correctly that you said you're a Latino?
Yeah, I'm Latino.
And you think,
first generation born here in this country.
And do you think Trump has a Latino constituency?
No. No.
So you think it's...
You mean people supporting Trump?
Yeah.
He does. He does have some people supporting him, but it's not the majority. I mean, it's like, really, how many people that are Latino are supporting him? You know, not much.
I mean, here's a guy who talked about the Mexican rapists coming over the border and all the rest of that stuff.
Absolutely.
I would think that would turn some Latinos off.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the Latino community, even within my family, we all think the guy's crazy. You know, no one wants to vote for him. And
you want
just,
a crazy guy with his hand on the button?
And even talking about, Alan, even talking about Muslims, the way that he talks about Muslims. I grew up in this country. I was born. My parents, you know, they came here in 72. And I heard all that rhetoric that he's saying, you know, like kick them out. And, you know, I've heard that. Like, I've seen my parents go through that. And some Latinos that I meet, kind of, they'll agree with him about the Muslims and stuff like that. And I tell them, I say, hey, you remember when our parents were in this country, the rhetoric, how we people would say, hey, Mexicans, go home, and we would just look at second-class citizens, even though we were born here. You know what I mean?
All good points. Hey, Glennis, you probably know there are a lot of people on the phone behind you. I thank you. I thank you for calling.
Hey.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you, Alan.
Right, bye. Let's go to Ann in Altamont. Ann in Altamont, you're on.
Hello. Couple of things. You know, the people that are singing the praises of Bernie. Well, number one, I'm a Hillary supporter.
Okay.
And Bernie keeps hitting this, you know, Hillary's getting the Wall Street money. Well, Bernie is getting the American Crossroads money, which is, you know, Karl Rove. They've been spending millions attacking Hillary because they would like Bernie to be the nominee because they feel they can beat him. Plus, Bernie, there are PACs for Bernie, and the PACs are separate from the candidate, but he keeps throwing up Hillary's PACs. I just think he's not being totally honest, and I have always supported Bernie. In fact, he was the only out-of-state politician that I would send money to, but no more. Bernie, I've now disappointed in Bernie and much, much stronger in favor of Hillary. But I'd also like to talk about the voter turnout.
Yeah.
You know, in some of these states, it's been 8% of the registered voters that are voting. So when people are saying, how can all these people support Trump? Well, if he gets 35% of 8%, you know, you've got 2% of the people.
Wait a second, Ann. As you know, about half the people in the United States, maybe even a little less than half, vote in the presidential election itself. You could make the same argument.
Yeah. I mean, I think people, if they want to see things happen, they've really got to get out there and get voting. I mean, Nevada, it was, I think, 8% of the population, of the registered voters that could have voted, that are voting. So this is a plug for everybody to get out there and do more than talk. And for Bernie to just back off his high horse and... I'm all for Hillary for that whole list of things that woman said a couple times ago.
Okay. Hey, Ann, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay,
very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Connor in Woodstock. Connor, go.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for having me on. A couple callers ago, you had someone who was talking about his desire to start another party, and I assumed, I think, along with you, that he was implying that he wouldn't be voting for Hillary should Bernie lose the nomination.
Well, he actually said, as you remember, Connor,
I don't want
to put words in his mouth. He actually said, I'm done with the Democratic Party.
And I was wrong in that case, but it did make me think a lot about how there is a movement, especially online with young people, the burn or Bernie or bust movement, saying that if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, they're not going to vote for Hillary. And I just think that's very short-sighted and scary thinking. And it really does remind me a little bit of 2000 and how the election was lost really taken from us. And the only thing I really wanted to say about that really is that, you know, even the last caller who called, there's a lot that she said that's true. And there's a lot about Hillary for me personally that I find inconsistent and distasteful. But at the same time, I like to believe that you know, young minds voting for the first time or not, are able to not only vote with their heart, maybe for Bernie Sanders when given the opportunity, but their minds when they have to, and vote for Hillary Clinton as opposed to, well, the alternative. All I want to say is I just really hope that should he not get the nomination, that young people will really strongly take a look at Hillary Clinton's merits.
Connor, I thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to, let's go to Dan in Albany. Dan in Albany, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Thank you. So I just had one thing. I'm a little concerned that Bernie is too partisan to build a coalition to get anything done. The Cook Political Report rated him and Ted Cruz as the most partisan senators in the Senate. And unless he's brought in with a huge, massive wave of Democrats, I don't see him getting anything done.
Well, Dan, just hold for a question, if you would. But is Obama, who is, if nothing, a conciliator, has he been successful in getting the Republicans off their you-know-whats and form coalitions? I don't think so.
I don't think so. But he had a massive wave of Democrats to get stuff done, and I just don't see that happening in 2016.
Okay.
And a lot of what he's done in the last 2 years has been with his pen.
Well, for the fun of it.
Executive action.
Okay, but just for the fun of it, Dan, hasn't Hillary been more alienating to the Republicans than Bernie?
I don't think so. I mean,
you don't hear them attacking. You really don't hear them attacking Bernie. Now,
they want him to be the nominee.
Well, some do. I don't think it's as universal as you may think. They just think Hillary is going to be the nominee. And therefore, they've put all of their fire on her. I mean, one of the remarkable things about the woman, and I have to say, you know where I am. I voted the other way, in Massachusetts. But one of the remarkable things about this woman is her ability to take incoming. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the system we live in.
Well, it is. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jim in Great Barrington. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Alan. I have two observations.
Okay.
One of them is that there have been a lot of reports on the media that Bernie is supported primarily by young people, that it's the college crowd and the first-time voters. But my own observations are that everybody I know who supports Bernie is an old guy like me and you. Know of very few young people. Maybe it's just because of where you live. So I'm not sure that...
It is where we live. For goodness sakes, Jim. You know, here I am living up on that hill. The Priuses are buzzing all around me.
All your neighbors got Bernie signs in the yard.
Well, not all of them. A left-wing guy runs for Congress against a terrific guy like Richie Neal, and everybody screams at me they're going to vote for him, and I'm crazy and all the rest of it. So, yeah, it is where you live.
Yeah, so... And the second observation, it seems to me that what is driving the enthusiasm for Trump and Bernie are both basically the same thing, and that's a disgust and a disdain for what's been going on with the establishment politicians. I think basically that they're two sides of the same coin in terms of who they're in terms of people that are supporting them, that one of the reasons that Trump is doing so well and also Cruz is that they're the two candidates that are not basically supported by the Coke-tapus, that the whole dysfunction of the Republican Party has come back to haunt them.
Well, how about the Democratic Party? I mean,
I think it's a distrust of Hillary, basically, is a lot of what's, and also the fact that the Democratic Party hasn't been able to do a lot in the past 2 years.
Although, Jim, there was something interesting this morning. There was a huge article in the paper about how Cruz, who is so far right, you have to crane your neck, is that, and who is really despised by his colleagues in the Senate, and they go into all of that, is trying to make up with them and say, come on, we're all in this together. We're all, you know, Republicans together. So, you know, he has reaped what he sowed.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the end of my comments.
Jim from Great Barrington, stay out of the way of all those Priuses, okay?
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Warren in Pauling. Okay, Warren, you're on.
Alan, I have a thing that I tell my kids all the time. There's a difference between future wandering and planning. And we find ourselves as Democrats looking at whether somebody can get something done in the future. And they're not thinking in terms of planning to get things done in the future. You got to start with somebody who has got a clear vision. You know, we got a guy locally who was your typical Bernie. He was a guy named Harvey. He went into the school board over here, and he was your New Yorker, went to Stuyvesant High School, was pushy and annoying, and his kids didn't even go to school at that time. They had grown up. And I think he got onto the board by two votes, his and mine. And he started uncovering misappropriation of funds and misallocation of funds. And as irritating as this man was and is, he could not be ignored. He drew attention to things that needed to be done. They found $2.2 million in misappropriated stuff.
Warren, we got to take a break. But I did want to ask you this. Are you comparing your friend on the school board who is abrasive to Bernie Sanders?
I am saying that you need somebody with a clear vision like a Bernie, like a Harvey, that even if you're not sure that they can get along with everybody else, so that nobody would shine on to them, they are the appropriate person to be entrusted with our job
okay.
that we're giving them.
Okay, and who can also be leaders. I mean, sometimes, you know, people who are out there with the right message. I like Bernie because I think he's right about so much.
That's right. That's right.
And therefore, you know, people say, well, he can't get along with everybody else. Okay, either they'll come along or they won't. Hey,
but that's a speculation. That's a speculation. It doesn't hold right now. You know, you got to go ahead with your gut and say, here's somebody with a clear message.
Okay. Warren, I got to take
a break. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Warren. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Habitat Post and Beam, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, designing and manufacturing energy-efficient post and beam homes and additions throughout the Northeast since 1972. Postandbeam.com. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services, and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing. Careers in Transition, LLC.com. And Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the Capital Region and beyond. Marketing creative and business ideas since 1996, imediaconsult.com.
Okay, we're back. We're at the third leg of this thing. We got to really move along. So do me a favor, everybody, you know, state your premise. And then, you know, that's it, because when it comes around a second time, well, then somebody else can't have their say. Over the Internet, dear Alan, I couldn't get through on the phone. I support Hillary, but will support Bernie if he's the nominee. The critical goal is to have a Democratic president retake the Senate. What do you think? What do you feel has the stronger chance? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Who do you feel has the stronger chance to beat Trump, Hillary or Bernie? Or are you confident either will succeed? And that's from Doug in Woodstock. The truth of the matter is I pretty much agree with what you've said. I didn't vote the same way you do, but I agree with you. Now, who do you think has a stronger chance to beat Trump, Hillary or Bernie? I don't know. I mean, my feeling is Hillary has a stronger chance, just in terms of my background, my political science training, even though I voted the other way. And do I know that either of them will succeed? I do not. And I have been telling people from day one that this guy, Trump, could be the president of the United States. So if people can't organize and get out, I think he has the ability to do that. Okay, let's go to Jerry in Bozenkill, it says here. Jerry?
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
I'm a 78-year-old veteran who lived through World War II.
Right.
And I'm aware that it was brought to a very abrupt end by only 20,000 tons of nuclear weapons.
Right.
And I'm also aware that the winner of this absurd media contest now, this popularity contest, next year is going to be responsible for having their finger on the trigger of 1,000 million tons
yep.
of TNT equivalent. And I don't see that any of them are qualified to take that kind of responsibility for the future of the human race.
But don't you think, Jerry, that you have to compare? In other words, you can't have everything you want. I would be hard pressed to say, okay, who should have their finger on that button? But you have to compare. You know, is there a difference between a Hillary and a Trump, for example, when it comes to finger on the button?
Yes, that's what bothers me. Can you imagine if Putin insults Mr. Trump's daughter over the color of her hair or something, and he reacts emotionally and pulls the trigger on a province in Russia?
Well, you bring up a very important point. I wrote a column on it. One could go to the Berkshire Eagle and see it. But we're not out of the woods where the nuclear thing is concerned. When I was, you know, at sixth grade and almost as old as you are, we had a duck and cover and all the rest of that stuff. It's much worse now because we've got because I had all of those nuclear devices that were in Pakistan and Russia that are easily takeoverable and the rest. And then the question is, if somebody fires one, or how about that nut in North Korea? If somebody fires one, then what does the president do?
Absolutely. It's 3 minutes to midnight. We're at the on the brink of Armageddon, the possibility for it. The weapons are there, and it's not just the United States and Russia, but there are seven other countries with nuclear weapons. You just mentioned one of them, and it really scares me. 3 minutes to midnight, Alan.
Jerry.
And we're talking.
Jerry, thanks for the call. A lot of people only got a few minutes. Thanks an awful lot. Appreciate it.
Welcome,
it was a good
Bye.
Good idea. Thanks. Let's go to Bill in Steventown, the only one in America. You're on, Bill.
Hey, Alan. How you doing today?
So far, so good. Yep.
My kind of issue is I haven't picked a candidate yet, and I'm like that prize voter. I'm the independent, and I'm actually a registered Democrat, but I really go by who I think is going to best fulfill the needs of that particular election of the time.
Okay, fair enough.
And the thing that really bothers me now is the unfairness in the press. And you see it from almost every direction. And I'll give you a couple different examples, but the number one I would take Donald Trump. And I heard just a few callers ago that you were talking, and the guy says, oh, I want to kick all the Mexicans out of the country. That's not what Donald said. What he said is he wants to address the illegal problem, and then it just gets exploded into
Whoa. Didn't he say build a wall, Bill?
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with building a wall and having legal immigration.
I would differ with you, Bill. In all honesty, I think there has been discussion by him about sending illegals back.
But again, he is a negotiator, and I think because we know that there's just so many illegals in the economy, it would cripple part of our economy.
Yeah.
And I think he would negotiate. I can't speak for him. I'm not in his camp. I'm just a voter, and I'm trying to take hundreds of pieces of information and trying to come up with what does it sound like.
Well,
but
Bill,
to me, it's hard for the public to do that because you get a statement. And it's by the time it gets to the news, and then you go far right, you go far left, and you know.
Okay,
I mean,
so your basic position is that the press has been unfair to Donald Trump, right?
I think it presses on all of them. I think Bernie's taken some shots. Like I said, I've had a hard time. I'm 54 years old. I can remember back when Tip O'Neill and Senator Kennedy and all the big guys used to, you know, battle all day long, but then they'd go to each other's house at night and they'd have their steak and their cigar together.
Yeah, well, okay, you know, Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were best friends, but that doesn't mean that they don't have differences. Hey, Bill, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll go to Britain. Britain in Albany. Britain.
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Good, good. Glad you're there. What you got?
All right. Well, I'm an avid Bernie supporter, and it basically boils down for me to that he's an ethical, competent candidate, the only one with real empathy.
How old are you?
44.
Okay. That's very
interesting. I'm a feminist. I'm a single woman.
Yeah.
Definitely not a Bernie bro.
You got thrown out of wheel? You said
not a Bernie bro.
Oh, okay, not a Bernie bro. Okay, go.
Right. So what I saw coming a long time ago when I learned about Senator Sanders, probably a year ago, was that this critical mass was going to be reached once his message came public enough. And I think that's really happened. And I think that he has motivated and inspired our electorate, young people, old people, those of us in the middle. I think there's an incredible social media component to this that is perhaps being discounted. You know, he's been basically shut out of media for a long time. Trump's getting 24-hour coverage no matter what he does. The issues aren't really being discussed until now, and I think he's got a major shot at taking over these states.
Well, you could be right. And what's interesting is your mention of the social media. Because there were polls, as you remember, in Michigan. They turned out to be wrong by a lot. And the social
media, 538.
And the social media means a lot. Okay, Britton, thank you very much. Let's go to Frank in Springfield. Frank, you're on.
Hello, how are you?
So far, so good.
Okay, I'm actually not a supporter at this time to any Democrat party. I'm a small entrepreneur. I have a few different businesses, and the reason of raising a minimum wage, I just don't understand that.
Uh-huh. You know, that's a very interesting point. We're not on that today, and we should be. We should discuss that. We should discuss that, but it is an interesting idea. Because
for me to be able to run my businesses, I'm 34 years old. For me, I mean, I do work on a lot of people that actually do make minimum wage. And what's going to end up happening by them raising the minimum wage, we're all going to have to raise our prices. And what's going to go affected to is actually going to be the elderly, that if they get a pension of, Social Security, anything of like $1,500 a month, now they can't even go out and get a cup of coffee.
Okay, but Frank, I want to stop you for a second. I want to ask you this question. You started by saying, I'm not going to support any Democrat. So you think that the Democrats are for the $15 an hour wage and that the Republicans are not?
Yeah, right now, last that I actually heard was a Hillary Clinton in her last debate. She said that she wants to raise minimum wage and help small businesses. How would that be?
Well, you can say anything you want. Hey, Frank, I appreciate your call. I'm trying to get everybody in here. I appreciate you calling. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Lisa in Woodstock. Lisa, go.
Oh, okay, Alan, thank you. I just wanted to respond to the lady who said that Bernie has a super PAC. If American Crossroads wants to put ads out against Hillary Clinton, that's not a super PAC for Bernie. That is just, you know, another organization.
Well, Lisa, that's what they all say. That's why the law says that they can't be in concert with the candidate themselves. But we know, how do I say this, darn well that they are.
Well, I don't think Bernie has any reason to have a super PAC, and I don't think that ethically, I don't think that he would do that. I've been following him for so long.
Perhaps here on WAMC, which has had him on more times than anybody else.
Yes, you have had him on many times.
Right. Okay.
And I just want to say that I am so concerned about the delegate count. I don't understand where extra delegates came from. And I'd like to say that for all Bernie supporters, yesterday it was announced that Bernie has gotten 7 more delegates from Iowa. It was in the Iowa newspapers. Hillary lost 7 delegates because of some of the things that went on during the Iowa caucuses.
Okay. Hey, Lisa, I got to let you go because there are a lot of people behind you, but thank you for making your point. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. We'll go to Gordon in Pittsfield. Gordon, you're on. Gordon.
Hello. Hello, yes. This is Gordon from Pittsfield.
Right. Yes, you are.
Yes. And, you know, some of the rhetoric that goes on in a political campaign are totally misleading the public. When somebody comes up on your program and says they don't want to vote for Clinton because she represents corporate interests, she doesn't represent corporate interests. She's even said if somebody gives her money, that doesn't mean she has to do what they say in the political arena. All this rhetoric is just twisting the facts. And I've never been so partisan in my whole life, but I'm telling you, the Republican Party, they shut down the government. I won't even go into all the illegal things that they do that are totally against the Constitution, that are totally against our democracy. We won't even go into Hillary Clinton is so well qualified.
Okay,
she knows inside and out politics.
Gordon, I can hear the passion in your voice. I respect it. I'm just simply telling you that right now we're trying to get everybody in before the end of the program. So thank you for
coming. I could go on for hours.
I'll bet you could. Thank you, Gordon. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Jackson in Housatonic. Jackson, go.
Hey, Alan, how you doing, man? I just wanted to share something that I wrote the other day, just coming from the perspective of the millennial.
Not too long, I hope. Not more than a sentence.
Go ahead. Not too long, man, and you can either sing along with me or hang up if you need. But
we can't hear you. Get close to the microphone there.
Yeah, I'm right here, man. In schools, why isn't there any voter education? Is it the people who are really changing the legislation? This election is causing enough of a revolution on its own. To me, this is the most absurd election that's ever occurred.
Hey, Jackson, we don't want to read things. Just say it in your own voice. Go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, man.
Say it in your own voice. What do you got? Don't read anything.
No matter what, this is a political revolution.
Because of Bernie? It's a political
revolution? It could be because of Bernie, but I think that everybody else who's in the picture is just as much involved as it. As Bernie.
You think it's a political revolution because of Trump?
Yeah, I think it's because of all of them together kind of showing how extreme the American people's stance is in all directions. And I think that without one of them, you wouldn't have the other. And it's definitely quite a confusing time, especially for the younger generation, millennials.
Okay. Jackson, I thank you. I wish we had more time. We don't. I want to try to get everybody in. Thank you. And we've got a J.D. in Springfield. J.D., thanks for calling again, but I know that you like to have your say, but it's got to be short. Go ahead.
This isn't again, darling. This is the first time I've called today in a long time. But anyhow, what I want to say is, like, this thing about Donald and the wall.
Yeah.
If I believe the news and various things from a couple of years back, there already is a wall. You know, it's not his idea.
Not the kind of wall that he's talking about. But J.D., so
that's it.
What else? That's it? Thank you, J.D. Appreciate
it. Sure, thanks.
Right,
bye.
Let's go to Jim in Adams, Massachusetts. Okay, Jim, on.
Good afternoon, Alan. Yes, Mr. Trump gets up there and he beats his chest and he roars all over the podium and everything, but he calls everyone who's not quite as successful as him in anything, he calls in terms of weak and losers. He's a big-time three-time loser. He's declared bankruptcy three times over. He's a big fake, and he's a big imposter.
I thank you for your call. And then we got something over the internet from Jamie, who says, putting Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump in the same boat is another example of the mental vacation that this nation seems to have taken, where Bernie Sanders is reflective and responsible for what he says. Donald Trump is neither. Bernie wants to talk about what needs to be done, where Trump talks about himself and why he is important. Okay, thank you for that. Well, we are out of time, and we did get everybody in, which was my idea. Okay, Thanks for those who support Vox Pop, the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com, unusual wedding rings, and more in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield, featuring a variety of jewelry, specializing in repair, remodeling, and recycling. 413-236-9300. And the Union College Concert Series, presenting British pianist Paul Lewis, making appearances at Tanglewood and Carnegie Hall. Lewis performs Brahms, Schubert, and Liszt. Friday, March 18th, 7:30, unioncollegeconcerts.org. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at wamc.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.